Evening, one and oh, yeah, May. Yeah, we're in May. I know. Definitely going another quick year. As I told you, the older you get, the quicker you get through these days. It's like a toilet roll. Older that gets you, quicker you get through it. It's very like that. But it does. It seems to go quicker and quicker. Now, one of the things I get asked a lot. You get people to say, "Oh, well, I'm going to England for a visit, and where should I go? Should I do this, this, this?" Yeah, I could never tell you. I mean, living there sort of, well, 60 odd years, 50, 60 years before I came over here, I still don't know it. You never will. You never will see a fraction of it. I remember, I mean, I used to live just on the outskirts of London, and we always used to get taken into London on the Underground on the train by my grandparents or my parents to see stuff. And I worked in London as well for quite a few years and that. And yet, when I did the London Marathon, oh, back in 96, I think the first time, something like that, I remember running along thinking, I never knew this stuff existed. You never know. I don't mean, we're going through stuff that I didn't know existed. I was talking to my mother, who's what, 96 now, something like that. And I might have mentioned it before, but one of the YouTube things I love watching is Horse Guards Parade, where they have the horses and they change their guards. Not Buckingham Palace type guard, the Horse Guards itself, which is, they have the horses on the horse the guards on horses, the lifeguards or the Blues and Royals there, and they change every hour and stuff like that. And I was watching it the other day. And this bloke John, who I really like when he does it and everything like that. One of the best things is watching the tourists getting nipped by the horses because they went too close. But that's another story. Anyway, I was watching it, and he says, "You see the clock above Horse Guards? You see that right next to the number two? There's a black mark there." I said, "Yeah." I thought, "Yeah, okay, fair enough." He says, "That's to commemorate when Charles, at the time that Charles I was beheaded in the courtyard there." Now, I'd never heard of that, and I spoke to my mother. I said, "Did you know, Mum, that there's this on the clock in Horse Guards? There's this black figure there," and she'd never heard of that. And you never stop learning, and that's just about a small part. Imagine what it's like to learn about the world and the fraction of the stuff, but a lot more than any other people that I can think of. Well, my guest along today, along with his wife, I might add, have done that. They have been to places, visited things, met people. Like I don't know, a modern day around the world in 80 days. They've done it for many years, and they've been, well, let's talk to my guest today, and we'll find out about that. Because on the show today, I have the one and only Tom Tarantino. I've got to say that right. Hi, Tom, how are you doing?
Greetings.
So how
I'm
are
here,
you?
I'm speaking for myself, and I'm speaking for my wife, Barbara Scott.
Yeah.
We traveled for about 25 years, and she was the inspiration, and I was the perspiration. So,
Yeah, but she's some athlete, isn't she? As well, and she do lots of sort of athletic stuff as well. So
well, that's true.
you were trouble keeping up with her, were you?
Absolutely. But she's a little older than I am, so
Ah.
she's 92, I'm 77.
Oh, wow.
She's the original cougar.
Right. I know. It's like I'm on my fourth wife, right? And people say, "Fourth wife?" I said, "Yeah, I love wedding cake."
There you go. Well,
So.
we did a lot of traveling, and we started first as an escape. We just wanted to go as far away and as far out of the way as we could. And we kept going to all these places. We went to Jordan, Argentina, Egypt, Ecuador, Patagonia, South Tyrol, Tibet, etc., etc. And we kept finding people who represented the spirit
Is
of
that
the place.
what you set out to do? Is that I know one of the things you do is sort of the art of traveling, if you like. Is that what sort of developed that you didn't just go to the country, you went to find the heart of the country?
Well, what happens is we started by wanting to escape, to get out of town, to go from. And then we learned how to travel, and it began to be a search where we were going to. And we didn't have any overall plan. We just kind of stumbled along, and one thing led to another. And we kept finding people. And I'll give you an example. We went to El Chaitén, which is in Patagonia. And there we found out about two guys who were basically beach bum rock climbers who in 1968 decided they'd get in a van, drive 15,000 miles to the bottom of South America, and climb a mountain that had only been climbed twice before. Now, one guy was Yvon Chouinard. Have you ever heard of him?
Don't think so.
The other guy was Doug Tompkins. Have you ever heard of him? They
Mate,
were.
if I mean the names ring a very vague bell, but I couldn't tell you
Well,
how and why.
but it's well, I'd be disappointed if you knew him because that would have be against the premise of the book. But when I tell you who they are, and you'll say to yourself, "Oh my God." Well, they're coming back from where they were, and Yvonne says, "Well, you know, I really like this outdoor stuff. I think I'm going to create a clothing company and I'm going to name it after where we just were, Patagonia." And Doug Tompkins says, "Well, you know, I like this outdoor stuff too, and I've already created a clothing company that I named after the hardest side of the mountain to climb, the North Face."
No,
So here we are, 50 some odd years later, and Yvon Chouinard just gave his $3 billion company to a charitable trust, and he likes to say that the only shareholder they have is the earth. And Doug Tompkins, he sold his company a long time ago. Unfortunately, he died in a kayak accident. But he bought millions and millions and millions of acres in Patagonia and Chile and Argentina. Well, we put two and two together, but we would have never known about them unless we went there. We went to Luxor, Egypt, where, you know, and we stumbled across a guy that we'd never heard of before. His name was Jean-François Champollion. And he was the person who translated the hieroglyphs. And if you go to the Valley of the Kings, he named that. If you go to the Ramesseum, he didn't have to name that because he could read the hieroglyphs. And he was so impactful that if you go to a temple in Luxor, the Luxor Temple, you will find that one of the obelisks is missing. Well, he was the one who advised the French king that if France wanted an obelisk, this was the obelisk that it should get. And they got it and put it in the middle of the Place de la Concorde.
Did they float that back or something like that? Do I remember something about it was floated around across the sea or something? That obelisk?
Well, they transported it, but they didn't steal it. They made a deal and
bought
it.
Yeah.
And the transportation was very interesting. But what you might be thinking about is the Rosetta Stone, because the Rosetta Stone was found there, and he was the one who used the Rosetta Stone in his translation.
To translate, yeah. I mean, it amazes me, Nissi. I'm not too bad with historical and geography and stuff like that. Unlike kids these days, especially in America, they have no idea about history and the rest of the world, and absolutely no idea at all about geography. I mean, I see the stuff all the time about how it is and everything. You know, trying to point them to a continent, and they're sort of no idea, let alone name.
Well, when it comes to geography, there's one place in the world that has two names for every city and every town, and that's in northern Italy, also known as South Tyrol.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And we went to a little place called Vilnos, which was also Val di Funes, which is where the best mountain climber in world history was born.
Mm-hmm.
His name was Reinhold Messner.
Yep.
Have you ever heard of him?
Yes, I have.
And he was the first person to climb the 14 tallest mountains in the world,
right,
and the seven tallest mountains on each of the seven continents.
Yeah,
fantastic.
I know it's amazing when you sort of you hear stuff like that. But as for different, you know, each town having different words. It was bad enough in Belgium, where you're following the sign in, you know, in German or French, what have you, and then it changes to another language. It is a totally different name. I couldn't manage to get round in a town with different names for everything. Oh, dear. So you've done all this. I mean, you've learned, obviously, you said, you know, to travel. It's not as simple as that. You know how to prepare, you know, and you've now got this, that you go to places and you know what you're looking for, and you learn all that. We never stop learning. We learn all the time. What's your favorite spot you've been to? I know that's not easy.
Barbara,
like, sure.
No, but Barbara would say hers. Little town in Italy, Siena.
Yep.
Where every year they have two horse races around the central square of the town.
Yep.
Called the Palio.
Mm-hmm.
And the race is just total intrigue, with people allowed to conspire with other people to prevent a third person from winning, where you ride the horse without a saddle, where you can use your horse to take another horse and nudge it into the wall, where you can use your whip to beat on somebody's head, and where it's not the horse and rider who win the race, it's the horse. So every once in a while, 1954 Gaudenzia,
mm-hmm,
an unbelievable horse, his rider was thrown, but he still finished first. And you have 5 days of racing up until the final race, and that would be her favorite place. As for me, I think I would choose Marrakesh.
Okay, yeah.
Because you go into the souk, you can have a wonderful time bargaining, you can go out into the desert and discover unbelievable kasbahs, it's got everything. And it's got what I consider to be the best hotel in the world, the Mamounia.
Mm-hmm.
And romance.
Right.
Intrigue. Fighting. History's got it all.
Right. Yeah.
And the food is pretty unbelievable. Have you ever eaten a locust?
Yes, I have. And I've eaten grasshopper. Funnily enough, there was a place down in Brighton that used to, a fish and chip place that also did deep fried locust and deep fried grasshopper. So
tastes like shrimp.
Well, it's okay. Very earthy, I thought. Not so much the locusts, but the grasshoppers were very earthy. But it was nice. I had the two sort of together. But yes, I have. And it's interesting talking about the horse racing, because I have heard of that. It is a very, I'm not sure if it's the oldest, but it's very, very famous horse race indeed. There was, and you said about a horse, yeah, the horse won, even though it didn't have a rider on. I think it was 1927 in Belmont. I read the other day that a rider died before he crossed the finishing line. And he's still on the horse's back, but dead when the horse went over the finishing line. So, you know, he won even though he was dead, which I thought was interesting.
Well, perfect. I mean, you got to give it to the guy,
of course,
right?
Yeah. The horse was still carrying the full weight. Yep, you got it. I assume. I mean, like everything, there's loads and loads of places you still want to go to. And I know you've got a really big library, so even when you're not traveling, you can sort of travel via books and stuff like that. Where's the one place you've got left that you really want to go to?
Of course, Timbuktu.
India, yep.
No, not India. Timbuktu.
That's in India.
It's in Mali.
Mali?
Which is in Mali,
India.
In Africa.
I thought it was in India. I beg your pardon. I could have
no,
saw
no,
it
it's but it's a place. It's a nothing. It's
yep.
a place that's dangerous because of all the extremists. It's a place that we can just dream about.
Yep.
Because one of our favorite questions, and I'll ask you, which would you rather have, dreams or memories?
Right. Memories live longer in a dream. So I would always prefer a memory.
But with memories, you're looking back. With dreams, you're looking forward. You're trying to create memories, good memories. That's what dreams are. Memories are dreams that have come true. And what happens is, if you don't have dreams, you don't have a roadmap in front of you.
That's true. That's true. That's very true. Yeah, I mean, unfortunately, these days, people just don't have this sort of dream, do they? I mean, it's... The world is just so growing smaller and more rapid and stuff like that. People just don't stop and smell the roses, per se.
Well, because people aren't taught that they should.
Yes, yes.
Okay?
Yep.
You know, one of the things that's surprising about all the people we found is that we... were astounded that we didn't already know about them,
yeah.
That we weren't taught about them in grade school.
Mm-hmm.
And it is what it is.
Yeah.
Now, I'll tell you one more. I'm sure we're running out of time,
mm-hmm.
but there's a place in Brazil called Manaus, and it's right at the heart of the Amazon River.
Okay.
And in the 1930s, a Harvard botany graduate got his senior thesis by studying peyote, got his doctoral thesis by studying magic mushrooms, and then morning glory seeds that had the same chemical composition as LSD.
Mm-hmm.
And he then went to Brazil, where he spent 14 years in the Amazon rainforest, discovering thousands and thousands and thousands of different species of plants. Now, of course, his research on hallucinogenic plants got stored in the basement of the Harvard Botany building
mm-hmm.
until the 1950s, when somebody else actually partook of these things. So, you know, we've learned of lots of different things, and this is also how we built our library.
Right.
Because we would go to some place and we would read a few books about it before and then more books about it after. And all of a sudden, you know, the books mount up.
Right. Did that person who went to Brazil, did he write something like Plants of the Gods or something like that? Did he write?
Yes.
Oh,
you got it.
Okay.
Right. Yes. He and the person who was his co-author was the person who invented LSD.
I tell you, you look back on these things and you don't think, well, they've got to come from somewhere. You forget that. You know?
Right. Well, and in fact, if you go to page 307 in our book, you will see a photograph of the dust wrapper of Plants of the Gods.
Oh, right. Okay. Well, it has been absolutely terrific touring the world with you in the very small fraction of a very, very small time. But it's been really good chatting to you. Really enjoyed it. What I'm going to do now, anyway, Tom, is hand the show over to you and have you tell everybody where they can find out more about you. And, of course, your book. And we never really mentioned your book, did we? This is a bit of a mistake on my part.
No, that's okay. We're here peddling. The name of our book is, as you might imagine, Looking for Legends. We have a website, like you might imagine, www.lookingforlegends.com. And you can buy the book through there. You can also buy the book by clicking on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. We hope you will enjoy it. We've spent 25 years writing it. We've got some good jokes, we think, in there. We've got some good stories. It's a book that we hope will make you laugh and make you feel good about the world.
That's great. And I know it's you know, it's not just a travel log. It's like a history thing. It's got humor in it. It's got adventure. It's all sorts. And it's a book that I'm sure, and I look, everybody would really love reading. And that
we've got 50 maps, 150 pictures. We try to keep the chapters short so you can get it all in, you know, one chapter at a time and go to a different place every day. We recommend it as bedtime reading.
Mm. It is. I tell you, people, it is really good. You'd be sitting there and traveling the world and having a laugh along the way and learning as well as Tom's been educating us on the show. Tom, thank you so much for being a guest today, and thank your wife for being with you, giving you moral support. So thank you, both of you.
Thank you.
Well, there you go. How about that? That was Tom. Better say this right, haven't I? Tom Tarantino, Tarantino, with his wife Barbara Scott. So it's called Scott and Tarantino. It's written by. I've written this wonderful book, and it is wonderful, I tell you. Looking for Legends. Let us take you somewhere you've never been before and introduce you to our friends. And as we've been sort of saying, the sort of place he's been to, it's amazing. It really, you never stop learning, and you should always look for that, as you said, look for the adventures, look for the dreams, the futures, and everything like that. Well, that's it. That's it for this show. I'll be back tomorrow with a fresh guest. I'm not sure if I actually got a live guest or whether it's an old show. But until then, as always, I have one thing left to say. Don't forget.